Philippians chapter number 3. Paul said in verse 1, we've already went through this. I just want to read it all in its context here. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. When I read that right there, I thought about something Brother Billy said last night. It was a blessing. It was funny. He said several things that were funny last night. But anyway, when he got up, he said, somebody said last night, I've heard you preach that before. He said, I told him, I've heard you sing that before too. Amen. Amen. Just bless my heart. Amen. So Paul's writing the same things. Somebody at Philippi might have said, well, I've heard you, I've read that before. He's writing the same things. He said, again, it's not grievous, but you would say, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. We've covered those two verses. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. And then Paul goes into the reasons. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And then he said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight you'd speak to our hearts and help us, our Father, tonight to glean, just to glean something, Lord, that might encourage us another mile of the way. Lord, we thank you for your people tonight. Thank you for the precious Bible. Thank you, God, for the precious Holy Spirit that makes it real to us. Lord, we thank you tonight that we can rejoice in Christ Jesus. In thy name we pray. Amen. Brother John, I appreciate you, brother. I really do. Amen. You say, preacher, why did you stop and say that? Because my wife said you might ought to say something positive along the way. Amen. That's what she told me the other night. I've been riding him too hard. Amen. So I just wanted to stop and say I appreciate him. Amen. I think he knows that. If he don't, well, we'll try to help him figure it out. Amen. No confidence in the flesh. That's where we're going to start here tonight. He said, we're the circumcision. We talked about how that circumcision was of the heart, which worshiped God in the Spirit. You remember over in the book of John, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he said down here, you worship in verse 22 of chapter 4, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. It was just a few years ago that I can't remember if I heard this or I saw it when I was reading, but I for years I hadn't picked up on the fact that in verse 23 there in John chapter 4, worship the Father in spirit and in truth, that spirit is a little s. It's not a big S. Now in the next verse, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit, little s, and in truth. And I hadn't picked up on that for many years, but what that's talking about is real worship comes from the inside. Real worship is from the innermost being of a man. Amen. It's not something that's external, but it's something that takes place internal. And so the Bible is telling us here in Philippians chapter 3 that we worship God in the spirit, again, it's a little s, and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, remember when the Bible said rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Remember that? Okay. Rejoice evermore. Now think about this. He said we rejoice in Christ Jesus. Think about this for just a minute now. That's the only thing that does not change from day to day. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. And therefore, we may not be able to rejoice so much in our circumstances. They may change from day to day. But we can rejoice in Christ Jesus every day of our life. Amen. I like what the psalmist said. He said, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Amen. This day is a gift from God. Amen. And in Christ Jesus, we can enjoy that. No confidence in the flesh. Let me get to that part now. Just give you several verses of scripture. It's in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 6, Paul said, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, we should serve in newness of spirit and not in oldness of letter." And again, that spirit there is a little s. Colossians 2 verse number 8, Paul said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit." Can I tell you, that's crept into the churches in America. Psychology, amen. And I'm telling you, if the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God won't get somebody to Jesus, all the psychology in this world's going to do is produce a false hope, amen, in the God of heaven. The Bible talked about, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." I see the word "complete." I didn't plan on saying this, but one of the words that I dreaded when I was in school to be written at the top of the paper, it was the word "incomplete." How many's ever got one of those at the top of the paper? "Incomplete." I loved it. I didn't get many of them, but when it said "excellent" up there in the corner, boy, I thought that's awesome. But when it said "incomplete," well, you know what you and I were before we met Jesus? We were incomplete. Thank God, amen. He completed you and I. And actually, men, we ought to thank God for our wives, because that's what we were without our wives. The wife is the completer. The woman, amen, I believe a type of the Holy Spirit in that marriage, amen, is the one that completes that man. And Christ, we're complete in him. And without him, we're very much incomplete. He said, "In whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Paul is teaching us, the church at Colossae, the church here at Philippi, the church in Rome, we can't afford to have confidence in the flesh. It's God that does the work. In John, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Being born again, not of a corruptible seed, it's an incorruptible seed. Romans 7 and verse number 18 said, "For I know," I love that chapter, Paul said, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh." He had to make sure that he made that distinction. "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." In other words, every one of us that have Christ living in us, hey, he's the perfect one. Amen. He's the wonderful one. He's the gracious one. And he's the one that saved us. But in our flesh, apart from him, is what Paul's trying to say, dwelleth no good thing. And I believe tonight that's important for us to remember. The Bible said in Galatians 5:24, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh." That's supposed to be a done deal. The Bible said, "Reckon yourselves indeed dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God." When we got saved, the Bible talks about putting off the works of the flesh, putting off the old man. Brother Joe, I believe, sings a song about putting off the old coat and taking on the new. Amen. And the Bible said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affection and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we're debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I like that. The Bible's talking about not putting confidence in this flesh. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 14. I want to give you something here. I think it'll be a blessing to you. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? I want you to pay attention right here, because we're going to get to the verse in chapter 7. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Bible said, wherefore come out from among them, and be a separate people, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Now, what made me pick up on that passage right there was chapter 7 and verse 1. Listen to what it says. Having therefore these promises, beloved, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Well, when you get there to chapter 7 and verse 1, having therefore these promises, you have to back up into chapter 6 and see what in the world is Paul talking about. And I begin to look at the promises. In verse number 16, he said, ye are the temple of the living God. How many believes that? I believe we're the temple of God. The Holy Spirit came in. He dwells in us. And then he said, God has said, here's a promise, I'll dwell in them. Here's another promise, I'll walk in them. Here's another promise, I'll be their God. Here's another promise, they'll be my people. I don't know about you, but I can get excited about that. Amen. And even more so, if you come on down, he said, wherefore? Because he's our God, because he dwells in us, he walks in us, he's our God, and we're his people. He said, wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. Now watch this, and he said, I will receive you. Wait a minute now. It looks to me like, if you're over here in verse number 16, we've already been received. We're already saved, aren't we? Our body's the temple of God. He said, I'll be their God. I'll be their people. Well, what's the language? He said, come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. He said, I will receive you. Here's what I believe. I believe there's something in separation. Listen to me carefully. Salvation first, that's these verses that I just read. Separation, and then watch the fellowship. You watch how it gets sweeter in these next verses. Well, notice what the Bible said here. The Bible said, I'll receive you, I'll be a father unto you. Over yonder before we got separated, are you listening? He said, I'll be your God. Over here after we got, he said, I want to be your father. Watch this now. Over here before, he said, you're my people. Over here after, he said, you're my sons and you're my daughters. I don't know. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. This looks like to this old country preacher, things got a little sweeter. Amen. When we got serious, amen, about the old flesh and realized there's nothing good about it. Amen. And God don't want us, my friend, to live like the world. Amen. He wants us to come out from among the world and be a separate people, saith the Lord. Paul didn't have any confidence in the flesh. And then he said, having therefore these promises, my beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You know what that verse tells me? That God's people, I'm not talking about sinner people, I'm talking about God's people, are still fighting a battle with filthiness. Is that right or is that wrong? I mean, you can't drive down Stone Drive. Amen. And it's still there. But God said, listen, it's going to be there. He said, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. He said, when he prayed, he said, Lord, I'm not praying take them out of the world. I'm just praying keep them from the evil. Why? Because he wants to fellowship with us. He wants that relationship to be sweet. And he said, let us cleanse ourselves. So Paul didn't have any confidence in the flesh. And he said, in so doing, what we're doing is perfecting. Now, I like this. Perfecting holiness. In other words, Paul didn't say I'm perfect, but he said he's working on it. We're perfect. It's sanctification. It's a process. Amen. And it's going to keep going and keep going until finally at last we get home. Galatians 6:12 said, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. You know how they were dealing in Galatians with the Judaizers trying to bring them back under the law. He said, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. This verse came alive to me when I looked at it this time. Stay with me just a minute. For neither they themselves who were circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Now watch this. Look at it in its context. I've known this verse for years. I've had it committed to memory, but I just didn't see it in its context exactly right. He said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this now, by whom the world is crucified. You say, preacher, he's preaching separation again. He's saying, there's a cross between me and this world, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What a blessing. For in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Thank God he made us a new creature when he saved us. Amen. And we have no confidence in the flesh. What I want us to see now is what we need, according to Philippians here. He said in verse number 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Paul is telling us here, there's a difference between God's righteousness and the righteousness that of the law. And you'll see this over and over in these references, what I'm going to bring out here in verse number 4. He said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh. This whole list right here, and we'll be going into some of these as we go. But what Paul is doing is, He is more or less saying, if there's a man on earth, if there's anybody that God has ever breathed life into that has a right, so to speak, or grounds, so to speak, to have confidence in the flesh, Paul is saying, you're looking at him. He's saying, I've got the credentials. I've got all the qualifications. If you're wanting to look at somebody that has... And listen, later on he's going to say, but listen, he said, all of that, I just counted it but loss. I counted it but dung. Watch this now. We need God's righteousness, not legal righteousness, but the righteousness which is by faith. Let's listen to these verses here. Brethren, he said in Romans 10:1, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Paul said, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. How many realizes that Paul is not just speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? He is. But he's also speaking from experience. Paul remembered when he had zeal, Brother Ralph, when he was doing what he was doing wide open. I mean, he thought he was doing God a service and taking those Christians down there to have them persecuted. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Why? Verse 3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness. And by the way, beloved, that's what religion without salvation is. They're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about to establish their own righteousness. There's a lot of different names for it. There's a lot of different denominations. Are you listening to me? Amen. But I'm telling you, apart from Christ, there is no righteousness apart from Christ. He said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I believe that tonight. When you come to Christ, there's where there's no confidence in the flesh. If you have confidence, as long as a person has any confidence in the flesh, they're not going to run to Christ. But when they realize the flesh will let them down, and they realize that, listen, the flesh is under the curse, and that my friend Jesus became a curse for us and went to Calvary and died for us, that our only hope is in Him. The Bible talked about here, circumcised. Paul said, I might have confidence in the flesh. If any other man thinketh he whereof he might trust the flesh, he said, I more. Circumcised the eighth day. He was a true Jew. He was a full-blooded Jew. We found out as we studied that the Ishmaelites, they were circumcised when they were 13. But the Jew, it was that eighth day. And Paul was letting them know, listen, I'm a full-blooded. I'm not a half-breed. I'm a Jew. And he said this. He said, I'm a of the stock. Let's see, verse number five. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. And he said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul was the Bible talked about over, I believe it was in the book of Acts, of the most straightest sect of the Pharisees. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And there's something that I never picked up on. Paul never mentioned it here in this text when he goes down through the list of things. But in order for him to be a member of the Sanhedrin, and it's quite possible that he was even involved in that mockery of a trial that they had for Jesus. Amen. It wasn't really a trial. It was just a mockery. But listen, in order for him to have the position that he had as a Hebrew, as a Jew, as a Pharisee, I believe the Apostle Paul, after studying, was a man of great means. In other words, he wasn't poor as Job's turkey. Are you listening to me? He was an upstanding fella in the community. No doubt had a lot going for him. Amen. And when you read about it, you say, Preacher, I don't know why you mentioned that. Here's why, because he gives it all up. He's going to be a tent maker now and try to work out his way. He's going to end up in those prisons. He's going to end up depending on the church to take care of him. When he said he counted it all but dung and all but lost, he wasn't just talking about his credentials. I believe he gave it all to God when he came to him. Amen. I believe he gave it all up and he turned it over to the Lord. He said, I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul remembered when he had a zeal, when he was persecuting the church. It was Acts 25, said, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straightest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. I'm telling you tonight, God's good, isn't he? Amen. He saved this man. This man said, don't have any confidence in that old flesh. Amen. Member of the Sanhedrin, Paul is the one that carried a burden for his people. He carried a burden for the Jews. And I'm going to give you a couple things about that. Even though he was called of God to be a missionary, to be a preacher, to reach the Gentiles, he just, when he would go to town, he would head out, my friend, for the synagogue. He loved his people. And it ought to challenge us to love our people and pray for our people. The Bible said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. He said that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. When Paul gave up the credentials, God gave him a tremendous burden. If you think about Romans, I think it's chapter 1 and verse 16, where he talked about, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Then he said this, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Amen. I tell you, he had his people on his heart. Amen. To the Jew first. Listen what he said in Acts chapter 18. I'll give you an Old Testament scripture maybe to help us to understand maybe where Paul's coming from. In Acts chapter 18 and verse number 4, this man's giving it all up. Why? He wants to obey God. He wants to reach his people. He wants to reach the Gentile. And he reasoned in the synagogue. The Bible said in Acts chapter 18 verse 4, every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they, watch this now, opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and he said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. He said, I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Paul had given it all up. Why? He wanted to reach his people. And he wanted to reach the Gentile. He wanted to obey God. I thought about that little statement and I began to think about it. Your blood be upon your own head. Where might this man that had been a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, where might he have gotten a statement like that from? I knew I had read something similar somewhere, and I began to research, and I found it in Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse number 2 said, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring a sword upon a land. Let me ask you a question. How many believes a sword's coming upon this land? I believe the judgment of God, amen, is coming upon this land. He said, when I bring a sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be on his own head. That's what Ezekiel said. He said, if the people set a watchman, they see the sword coming, the watchman blows the trumpet. Amen. How many believes God's people ought to be blowing the trumpet? Amen. We know he's coming. We know Jesus is coming. We know that people without God are going to go to hell. And the Bible said, if we'll just blow the trumpet. Listen, the prayer and visitation on Saturday, it's more than just a get-together, amen? We're trying to blow the trumpet. We're trying to let people know, amen, you need to get in while you still can. While the door's open, God's fixing to shut the door on this generation. He shut the door on the ark, and he's fixing to shut the door in this generation. I believe with all of my heart, if we'll sound it, they won't heed. The Bible said there the Jews blasphemed. That's what some of them will do. Hey, somebody around here close said, well, we've lived here a year, and said, ain't nobody been over here yet. Well, somebody had already been to that house before they moved in. But anyway, so I just found out about it, and I went right on. And you know what? They ain't a bit more interested in the house of God than a man in the moon. They just wanted something to complain about. A lot of them's going to blaspheme. God said, Paul said he just shook his garment. Said, your blood be upon your own head. We need to just keep sounding the trumpet, sounding the warning, preaching the gospel. And I believe with all my heart, listen, if we don't do that, then listen what he said. He heard the sound of the trumpet, took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchmen see the sword coming, there's a whole lot of Christians like this in this hour. They see the sword coming. They know it can't be long. To he that shall come will come. Judgment's coming. They never tell anybody about Jesus. Never invite anybody to the house of God. Never give anyone a gospel tract. Notice what the Bible said here. He that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, blow not the trumpet. The people are not warned. The sword come and take any person from among them. He is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. That's what the Word of God said. We blow the trumpet, the blood will be on their head. We don't blow the trumpet, their blood will be on our hands. That's what the Word of God teaches. I don't know about you, but that's a motive, I believe, for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said, I want to blow the trumpet. Amen. And listen, in that, he was willing to give it up. He was highly educated at the feet of Gamaliel. As far as the flesh goes, Saul of Tarsus had everything going for him. Let me tell you something. It's possible to have everything in the flesh going for you and die without God. And because you missed the one that died on an old rugged cross. What was that song we sang opening up tonight, Brother Ralph? I can't remember the title of it. What was it? At Calvary. Amen. We don't ever want to miss that. Right there is where we can acquire the righteousness of God. You can't get it at church, but you can get it at Calvary. I can't get it from my daddy, but I can get it at Calvary. Amen. I can't get it at a school, but I can get it at Calvary. That's where the righteousness of God was attained for you and for me. I don't know about you, but the life of the Apostle Paul challenges me. What a man. What a man of God. The Bible said, if anybody's going to have, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, verse 4, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But Paul goes on and tells us over there in the book of Timothy. I want to read that and I'm done tonight. Let me turn over here to the book of Timothy. I believe it's in 1 Timothy. I'll know when I get there. It is. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul said, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Do you know we're living in a generation where a whole lot of people don't believe that God puts men in the ministry? Are you listening to me? I believe God puts men in the ministry. I believe a man that's called to preach has a call of God on his life. I don't believe you wake up one morning and volunteer for it. I believe there's a call of God. And God put Paul in the ministry. Watch this now. He didn't want him to forget this. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. And I'm not trying to be smart here. But he never mentioned the Pharisees. He never mentioned Gamaliel. He said, I want to thank Christ Jesus our Lord. He enabled me. He counted me faithful. And he put me into the ministry. You know, Brother Long said something years ago down at Liberty Baptist Church. I was there when he said it. I don't remember if he was preaching in revival. You all may not understand what I'm about to say, but I understand it well. Brother Long made this statement. He said, God knew what kind of Christian I was going to be. And he saved me anyway. Immediately, it welled up inside of me. God knew what kind of preacher I would be. And he called me anyway. That might not mean much to you, but I know what it means. I know what I am without him. Paul said he enabled me, putting me in the ministry. Then he said this, who was before a blasphemer. persecutor, injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad God gave us this man. Brother John, you said something last week about Brother Mitchell. Brother John said, I believe you've been knowing him about 35 years. And he said he's the same today as he was 35 years ago. What a blessing it is to be able to. You know what I believe about Paul? I believe if you met him early in his journey or on the last leg of his journey, he was still lifting up Jesus. He still didn't have any confidence in the flesh. Amen. His confidence was in the Lord. I pray tonight that you and I will remember this flesh is weak. I was talking to Sister Teresa last week, and she actually said something that I had kind of picked up on. She said, "Preacher, I've been down a little bit." I said, "I know, sis." I said, "I actually said it to somebody, I can't remember who, but the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It gets tired of fighting sometimes, amen. It just gets tired. It doesn't get tired of the way, but it gets tired in the way." I said, "I know." I believe he had to at times have gotten tired in the way. But he never got tired of the way. Amen. How many's glad you come tonight? Listen, let's not put any confidence in the flesh. That's why I try to encourage young people, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, don't make provision for the flesh. It's not just young people. We're living in a generation where people's been married 35 and 40 years and get up one morning and say, "That's enough." I'm just telling you, it could happen to any of us. We can't put confidence in the flesh. Amen. Let's see to it that our confidence is in the Lord. Amen. Everything the flesh can do is worth about that much. Brother Billy said something one night in the meeting. He said God could get more done in 3 minutes than we could get done in 30 years. And I believe that's the truth. Amen. I believe that's the truth. I like Paul, don't you? I'd like to be a little more like him. I'd like to follow him as he followed Jesus. Amen. He done a good job. All hearts and minds clear tonight. Amen. Appreciate you being here. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, God, for loving us. I pray, Lord, that the lesson tonight of find a lodging place in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to walk a little closer, that our light might shine a little brighter. God, I know tonight you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Lord, I'm glad tonight as Sister Teresa was in the hospital, her light still shining. Lord, even as we bowed today and prayed with Dad, to hear him say, "Son, that'll work." Lord, it's been working a long time. Help us not to forget to have a little talk with Jesus. Help us, Lord, that our confidence would be in you and not in this old flesh. Thank you, Lord, for the Apostle Paul, for the challenge that he gives us in our lives. Help us, we pray. God, I pray you'll really add your blessings to the visitation on Saturday. And just help us, God, that we might reach someone with the gospel. In Jesus' name.